You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, founder of Automation Bridge. And I would say you all are in for a treat, but I'm actually in for a treat today. I have someone who is going to help us understand the power and the possibilities of using no code to build your business. And this is an individual. He's not on the screen for a reason, because I don't want to have a spoiler alert. But he is somebody that in the community and the membership that we have, his name comes up at least once a week, where we're mentioning, hey, have you heard about this new Airtable update? What is this smart suite thing? Hey, look at Softr. Did you check that out? He is our in the community from afar resource for all things no code, and he has come on to the podcast today, none other than Gareth. And Gareth he started working as a no code Airtable consultant in 2018 after getting laid off from his corporate job. Hey, raise of hands. Hey, here too. And in the years following, he grew his consulting agency to over $1 million per year by focusing on online courses, training, hourly support, and custom development. His agency leverages YouTube to provide value and generate leads for the business, and he's known as one of the leading subject matter experts. I wanted to say small business for some reason. Subject matter experts for Airtable and similar no code tools. I have to insert right in the middle of this bio, I am a religious watcher of these YouTube videos, by the way. So if you're not subscribed, we're not even in it, Gareth, and I'm telling them. Anyways, Gareth is teaching others about the strategies he implemented to scale his agency. His second brand, Built to Scale, is breaking the barriers for other consultants who want to drive new leads, become known in their niche, and ultimately drive value for no code users. Gareth, I didn't say your last name, Gareth Pronovost, everyone, just in case you're listening on the fly, you're like, I wonder if this is Gareth from, yes, this is Gareth Pronovost. Gareth, welcome to the podcast, man. Great to have you here. How you doing?
Oh, Chris, this is an absolute pleasure. I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Now I'll start off by saying this. I need to let my listeners know I was tempted. See, I've got a green room, and Gareth and I were in the green room, and I've got so many questions, but I saved them for the podcast so I could be an active listener just like you all. So everything we're about to hear from Gareth is going to be new to me. I do not have the inside scoop, everyone, but I think it's going to be super valuable to have someone like himself really help us navigate this no code space. So Gareth, you were at a corporation and got laid off. Tell me a little bit about life before being laid off. What capacity were you working in?
Well, about 5 years before I was laid off, I was a struggling entrepreneur, struggling solopreneur, never really was able to get my business ideas off the ground. Mm. And they ranged from manufacturing to, you know, some tech ideas, things I wanted to build, just generally curious about life and, you know, just overall, right? I see all these opportunities to make things better, and I want to do all the things, right?
Yeah.
So that was me 5 years ago. And after another, you know, we can say failed venture,
because it's
exactly what it was. After another failed venture, I said, okay, you know what? I have to be responsible now and go get a job. I have to do the right thing. Obviously I've got something's not clicking for me on this small business ownership. Mm. So I went out and actually a friend of mine through my college had, he was the director in the San Diego, this is when I was living in California, San Diego's Small Business Development Center, which is SBDC for short. And they are a branch of the Small Business Administration, or SBA. Mm. And he said, hey, I need somebody here to help consult with small business owners or interested parties and, you know, people who want to start their own small business. And I said, well, you certainly don't want me. I just, you know, failed another business. And he said, I bet you learned a heck of a lot more when you fail than you realize.
Wow.
I know you by reputation and, you know, a few conversations. Why don't you come in and work for me? So that was kind of my intro to consulting. And I got to tell you, the first time I sat aside, you know, or sat opposite somebody wanting help, I was like, I felt so underqualified. I mean, the imposter syndrome was, you know, I'm sure everybody can relate to this, right?
Right.
Well, I remember just thinking, well, if I can help them with one simple thing, right, if just one thing, then their time won't be wasted with me. And that became my mantra that I still repeat even to this day. But then my fiance and I decided that we would move to Denver, and I let that job go, even though I loved it, and found a job for a payment processing company, very similar to Stripe, like a competitor of Stripe.
Okay.
And I was the sole financial analyst for this company, and they did $100 million private equity investment, and I was super stoked, and we were acquiring all these companies and bringing them into our, you know, payment processing, and then everything was going great. I was an Excel wizard, you know, living and breathing in Excel, like so many, you know, financial professionals.
Yeah.
And then just got laid off one day unexpectedly. Came back from lunch. My boss called me into her office, and she let me go. Totally stunned, because I thought I was crushing it. And so I did a little bit of contract work, found Airtable in the midst of all this, and thought, why isn't anybody talking about this tool?
Yes.
You know, I went to the same place I think most people, you know, who are our age plus or minus, you know, 5 years go when they need to understand how software works. I went to YouTube, and there was nothing, just nothing. Like, yeah, it was like a deserted wasteland, right? You know, in terms of Airtable content. And I thought, well, certainly something's getting missed here. Put together a YouTube video, which was terrible. but you got to ship, right? You have to ship.
You got to ship.
So I shipped. And before I knew it, people were calling up and saying, hey, can I get on your calendar? I want to talk about how you could implement this for my business. And the rest is history, man.
Oh, man, I love it. I'm going to overlay some of my timeline. This was around 2018, 2019 for you?
That's when the layoff happened, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 18. So I believe you and I discovered Airtable around the same time. And I remember you, oh my gosh, Gareth, I had Greg on the podcast and I didn't even mention this. You just brought it to my memory. There was a post, Greg Hickman, I was in his Facebook page in his group, and it was like, hey, what are the three tools you can't live without? So in regular lurching fashion online, lurking fashion, I'm going through and I'm just like, huh, what are people saying? And Airtable came up like five times. I'm like, what the heck is this? Well, I've never heard of this. Then I go to it and I'm like, oh, fancy spreadsheets. Anyways. But then like I read more comments and so many people, and I was like, maybe I should try this out. So I end up signing up and everything. And at the time I was at Active Campaign as a director of education. And I remember when it clicked for me, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I get it. Columns are like custom fields. Rows are records. It's not the same as a spreadsheet. This is amazing. Look at what you could do. And in just so pure excitement, I just go and I'm throwing it at everybody. Hey, we should be using this. And Gareth, if I could go back and see how people were, they trusted me. That's the thing. They did trust me. I had a lot of people because I was a director of education and I knew my stuff. They were like, okay, let's use this tool. If I could go back now, some of those Airtable databases were probably just shameful. Just they were probably the worst. You know, when I look at what I know now, and I'm not even like of the greatest, but I just understand it a lot more, groups, views, and everything else. Yes. I wasn't using any of that stuff back then. It was just like a colorful spreadsheet to me that, you know, you could do some other stuff with. So right around the time where you were discovering putting content out on YouTube, here I am discovering the same tool and trying to get some adoption internal, you know, to the company that I was working for. So for me, when that stint ended, that's when Airtable, it when I had to use it for my business and my livelihood, oh my gosh, it just took off. It took off. Yeah. And I don't know what I would be doing and who I would have had to hire and how much money I'd be spending out without Airtable, man.
Really thank don't. You. Right. So here, the thing is, it's almost ethereal. I don't even know how to describe it. And yet I use it and am one of the, you know, probably one of the leading experts on this tool. And yet, I mean, you know, for the longest time, I kept hearing people say Excel on steroids. Right.
Yeah.
Which I don't really love that. But
no.
Okay.
No.
That, I guess that kind of describes it.
Yeah.
But it's more than that. I mean, ultimately, to your point, it looks like a spreadsheet. So when you first start, you're like, oh, this is familiar and nothing fancy. What's the big deal? But what it really allows you to do is build a custom application to manage and automate any workflow imaginable.
Yeah.
And you can do it all without knowing any code whatsoever.
Yeah.
So once it clicks, and it takes some time for sure.
It does.
You've got to play with it. You have to experiment. Once it clicks, game over. You will love no code and be an evangelist just like we are.
Yes, yes. And that's really the topic. Listen, everyone, I'm on my best behavior because at any one of these topics that we talk about, I could just nerd out with Gareth. I promise you, I am using all of my discipline, my self-control, not to keep going down this Airtable hole. But I want to keep the focus on no code because though you are, you know, you say one of the, but I'm going to give you some flowers here. Based on when I search Airtable and the amount of videos that come up, the quality of the videos and the quality of the content, I do not think there's a comparison. There's some people that do really good jobs on YouTube, but you know, you have to give credit when credit's due and go buy the flowers, no matter how much they cost to give them to the people while they deserve them. So I want to take my hats off to you because I know that level of effort of being consistent with any form of content. Any form. And one thing that I've enjoyed about like seeing your evolution is that you made a name definitely in the Airtable space, but you're really no code. That if we were to put a very more global appropriate tag on you, you're no code. Through your videos, I learned about Softr, I learned about Smart Suite, I learned about a whole bunch of other stuff that was too complex for me. So I want to talk about when did you realize that no code is going to be the way to run and grow a business? Because you had these failed efforts before, right? Like, did no code give you that new drive and say, oh, this is what I was missing? Like, what was it about the no code space and how it evolved that really made it click for you?
Well, I think one part is, you know, shots on goal. You're not gonna score unless you shoot. And, a lot of my past was learning the wrong way to do things so that I could figure out the right way. And unfortunately, with entrepreneurship in general, my opinion is there's no shortcut. You know, you got to go through the trenches and get beat up a little bit and develop the skills and the thick skin that you need in order to play this game. So that's part of it. But the other part is, I mean, to your question about time, I'll tell you, as soon as I opened Airtable and saw what it was capable of, you know, you mentioned earlier that you're an engineer from an engineering background.
Mm-hmm.
like my undergraduate degree is in applied math. Like how nerdy is that, right? I'm the guy who grew up playing with Lego, and you know, you could just leave me in my room for hours and I would build whatever. And still to this day, those character traits, those are the same character traits I look for when we were hiring new people to join our team, because it's the tinkerer who goes out and like wants to see if this thing can break. How do I break it? Because that's when I know how good it is. So when I found Airtable, that was what I set out to do. Let me break this thing. certainly, I have all these ideas, flooding my brain of things I can do. And I'm like, certainly I can't do all these. There has to be a limit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm able to solve them one at a time and realize that this thing might be as cool as I think it is. And so it was a pretty short learning curve, frankly, all things considered, especially having come from an Excel background. The formula syntax in Airtable is very similar to Excel. And so that was a short learning curve as well.
Yeah.
And another point, not that this will help any listeners who have not already started their Airtable journey, but in those days, 5 years ago, Airtable was still in its infancy. Yes. And so it didn't have all these like features. And so it wasn't as overwhelming, right? If I picked up Airtable today, like truth be told, I don't know that I would feel comfortable saying, I'm going to go out and consult people. It's just become infinitely more complicated, but it's a double-edged sword. It's both good and bad that we have advances in the tool.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like I said, you start there and I would imagine that's where the idea that, wait a minute, this is it. When you could do so much without having to write a single line of code.
100%.
The most you had to do is figure out a formula. You can Google and, you know, figure those out. But you're able to start doing things that it's like, wait a minute, this is like an app. Hold on. Right. We'd have to pay thousands of dollars, previously. So you start to use Airtable and people are asking you about it. You're starting to meet the demand. And now you've got internal to your business. Now you've got processes, growing pains that you have to solve. And there's other tools, no code tools that you are using to do so. Give our listeners some insight. And let me just say this. I know we kind of jumped into no code. No code, for those of you who haven't heard that term, just means applications that don't require you to code. So I can do a thing that usually would require code without code. So that's what we mean when we say no code. So for you, Gareth, give people insight. There are so many people running businesses, agencies that have not hit the million per year. They don't know what can no code solutions do for me on the back end of it, right? Like, give us some insight on some of the tools that you found along with Airtable that you used to grow the company.
So I'll keep it as simple as possible without overwhelming. Because this, I mean, we could talk about, you know, dozens of amazing tools, right? But let me break it down into what I consider the three main buckets for no code.
Okay.
I think you need a place to store your data. And you could use spreadsheets. Technically, those are no code. Mm-hmm. But the catch with a spreadsheet is you're not really connecting data. You're not linking it the way you do in a relational database like Airtable, where when I have, let's take an example of a project with associated tasks, those tasks don't live at the project level. They're a different layer, to put it in like layman's terms. Mm-hmm. And we can associate them by actually connecting them together and then infer or draw data up and down through that connection. Airtable is a fantastic database tool, but it's not the only one we use. We also use Smart Suite that you've referenced. There are instances where we might want to use Google Sheets or Excel, but I would consider all of these to kind of fit that no code bucket. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be a place to store the data.
Yeah.
Next, there's got to be a way to move information in and out from the other systems you use. Mm-hmm. Maybe you process payments in Stripe or QuickBooks or Xero. Maybe you send automated emails. Maybe you have parts of your process that when people reach certain milestones throughout your business operations, there are different things that have to occur. All of those things, if they're repeatable, they can be automated. Mm-hmm. And you can build automation with no code, which sounds too good to be true. It's one of those places where I thought, certainly I can't do that. In the early days, it was Zapier. We all relied on Zapier. But now, a lot of these tools have their own internal automations that save us from having to go outside the environment. So now I can build automations in Airtable. I can build automations in Smart Suite. But I do think that there's a need for some automation component. Sometimes you need to get more advanced than what the native database tool uses. So I love Zapier. I love make.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then the front end. How are people going to access this data? How are they going to interact with this business process? And who are they? Are they customers? Are they internal team members? So everybody has to have a way to engage with the process that's, you know, reasonable for their role. Mm-hmm. And so we need to build some sort of interface for that to be allowed. Now, again, Airtable has made a lot of new feature improvements. And so now they have interface capabilities. But, you know, to your point, you brought up Sofdr earlier. That was one of the first tools that we used to, you know, actually build like a front end onto our data that lived in Airtable so that people could access it. Stacker is another one. There's new ones coming out pretty much every day. But, you know, a lot of different options for talking to your data, and it enables you to build that way that people actually interact with it.
Yeah. And to give you all insight on some of these tools that he mentioned, listen, you may have to rewind, take notes, or in the show notes, we'll link to all of them. But Sofdr and Stacker specifically, I remember watching a video of yours, and I'm easily, everybody, you would think, because I'm in automation and how much I love Airtable, you would think I could just eat this stuff by the boatloads. Gareth, to be honest, I can only take in so much of like Airtable knowledge at a time, because every piece of knowledge open is so tangential to what I know. So mm-hmm. it expands my brain faster than sometimes I'm ready. So I think if I was more ignorant in what Airtable could do, I could consume more. But you could say something as simple as, hey, you could link multiple records and this is how. Right at that statement, I'm like, oh, I never thought about linking multiple records. And then my brain is, you know, just off. So what I learned, though, when I was consuming one of your videos, is I was like, what is Sofdr? What is this interacting with data? What does that look like? And everybody, imagine, you know, you've got information in a database software, and it's just stored in there. It doesn't have to be pretty because it's database data, and usually it's not good looking. Airtable, I think, dresses it up the best, you know. But what if you just needed to see a certain amount of information at a certain stage of time? Or what if you wanted to let a client or a customer get access to just a portion of that data at a time and create kind of like a custom portal? That's right. Where these tools like Sofdr and Stacker come in. And I think Glide, are you familiar with Glide?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Glide is really good for the mobile experience.
Yep. So these are all, if we're not demoing right now on the podcast, but I just want you all to understand, you've interacted with apps that people have paid tens of 20s of 30s of thousands of dollars for. These right. tools that Gareth is mentioning, maybe $100 a month, you know, around right. that price range, ridiculous. It's right. just amazing what's available here. So, all right, let me recap it. You've got somewhere to store your data. You've got some no code solutions to store the data. Then there's no code solutions to move the data from all of the various platforms that you're using so that they can talk to one another, keep things in sync. And then lastly was interfacing or interacting with the data that's been stored and moved into the three areas that you would qualify the no code tools in.
Exactly. The nice thing about Airtable, you know, Airtable is one of the first tools to market. And so they've made these improvements over time. And so the features that I'm talking about here we kind of identified in the early days that these three portions would be necessary to really build a no-code app experience. Mm. But Airtable didn't have internal automations. They didn't have interfaces. Yep. It, you know, wasn't even a glimmer in the CEO's mind yet, or eye. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's been an evolution. And we used to have to rely heavily on third-party tools. We still do leverage them. But now, if you want, you could get that entire experience in Airtable.
Yeah, yeah. Help me, and maybe this will answer things for people listening too. I have two questions I'm realizing. Let me ask them separately instead of jumbling them up. But I often wonder how to use particular tools in conjunction because there's so much overlap now, mm-hmm. right? So for instance, Airtable can do some project management, but then I've got a project management software. Do I still need to use the project management software, or do I do everything in Airtable? And before anybody starts to answer, there is no one answer, one size fits all for this. It's literally how your team wants to work. For my team, I'm more comfortable in Airtable with a lot of the processes. At the point where it needs to be taken action on with someone besides me, I'll create a button. Send a webhook out, catch it, and then have it uploaded to ClickUp or something like that. Right? That keeps me in my environment. It helps them stay in their environment and things get done. So for you, how have you kind of compartmentalized the boundaries of your tools? Like, okay, this is where Airtable starts. It ends here. Smart Suite for this, you know, because if you all are listening, Gareth doesn't use just one. It's okay. It's okay to have more than one no code platform, even if there's a lot of overlap. Sometimes there's just this little use case that's different. So for you, what's your process in kind of dictating what one tool handles that another one doesn't, and what the handoff is like?
Well, Smart Suite, in my opinion, is going to be a dominant player in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And for anybody who goes back and watches this podcast, 5 years from now, they'll be surprised. Right? Just as when I picked up Airtable in 2018 and it wasn't quite there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, God, it needed some work. Guys, that's where Smart Suite is right now, right? Mm-hmm. So the thing that I love about Smart Suite, beyond what I can do in Airtable, is the way that it helps me also manage tasks across my team. I know it doesn't matter what solution or database I'm in Smart Suite. Mm-hmm. I get to see, I have a place called My Work, a little section of the software that tracks everything that's been assigned to me. And so for task management, it wins hands down. Mm-hmm. So every time that I need something like, you know, task tracking, I prefer to put that in Smart Suite personally.
Okay.
Now that being said, Smart Suite is a newcomer to the space. They are not. They haven't expanded their performance quite as much as Airtable has.
Yeah.
It hangs up every now and then. I have to refresh my screen and slows me down just a bit. So for anything where I need, you know, consistent reliability, Airtable wins for me.
Got it.
Today. But I think that'll be changed in 6 months, you know. So
yeah, good to hear.
For me, that's kind of what it comes down to. But the other thing to take into consideration here is how you're sharing your data across your different workflows and processes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, without going too far in the weeds, we build databases, either it's called a base in Airtable, it's called a solution in Smart Suite. But we generally build a database that is designed to consolidate related data and interact that related data. In Airtable, I can't link one database directly to another, but in Smart Suite, I can.
Yeah.
So that is another competitive advantage for Smart Suite. So once, you know, once we're a little further down the road and they've solved these performance issues, the way that you sync up data is going to be next level. So we'll see what the future brings. Yeah. I'm also interested that enterprise seems to be the focus for Airtable, where I see Smart Suite maybe focusing on the SMBs a little bit more.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that battle unfolds. But at the end of the day, what it means for us as consumers is better no-code tools because they're duking it out. So I'm here for it.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love the only time I get nervous is when one tool really dominates, because I just haven't seen that go well. They get lax. They stop listening to their audience. Yeah. Let me ask you this. We've got a lot of our listeners use Zapier. Some of them may be familiar with Make, formerly Integromat. And some, if they're super techie, have even heard of Pabbly. Okay, so these three are all they're integration software. I'll call them that. And you use them to pass data from one tool to the next. So let's say you have some CRM software and something is happening in another application that you have, and you want to send that data over to your CRM software. Usually you'd have to code. Now you have these third-party integration tools that can go and say, hey, we'll handle that for you. We'll zap it, Zapier. We'll scenario it. we'll pab it. She called it. Zapier really has it with Zap. I'm someone who has all three accounts by the nature of who I am and what I do. I'm in automation. Who would expect any less, right?
I should hope you have all
three. Right. However, I'm realizing that I do have use cases for each one. I want you to share, as you've experienced them and started to adapt them and growing your company, how did you start differentiating, like, when to use Zapier, when to use Make, formerly Integromat, or something else?
That's a really good question. It's a tough one to answer. I don't mean to get too much in the weeds here, so rein me in, Chris, if I overindulge here. So for us, as I said, in the early days, there was no Airtable automation. So you had to rely on a third-party tool. Yeah. And Zapier was the most accessible, and it connected to the most things. It had the best integrations that, you could just really quickly and easily plug in an API key, and now I'm able to send Gmail, right? Mm-hmm. So super simple. And I loved that because I frankly didn't know what the heck I was doing in the early days.
Yeah.
So. Some might even say even today. So, picking up these tools, Zapier will always have a special place in my heart because it helped me understand how these tools work. And it allowed me to build automation with training wheels, because you can't break it. Like, they have thought of pretty much everything. Yeah. And if you go step by step through an automation and it works, that's it. Your automation works. You're good. You're gold.
Yep.
So I still love Zapier, but, and this is, I'm giving you current stuff here.
Yeah.
I feel like they're starting to price gouge a little bit. It's getting pricey, and I don't know why. Like, the service hasn't gotten any better. I'm still building the same automations. I'm okay with, rising rates of inflation or whatnot, but we're talking double, triple prices on a lot of our customer accounts. Wow. So we've started to pull into Make a little bit. Make.com, as you said, formerly Integromat. Strictly from a cost savings perspective. The issue with Make, it's like in my opinion, it's an automator's dream.
Yes.
But you have to know what you're doing.
Ooh.
Because, it's not, they don't have great documentation.
Oh, man.
A lot of stuff can go wrong. So, if you haven't done it, if you haven't put in the time, it's a tough one to start with, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's going to save you literally hundreds of dollars a month if you're comparing the two tools.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I have to jump in there and agree with you, man. I have this strange relationship with Make, that sometimes what is usually pretty straightforward at Zapier that I'll do in Make takes a little bit more to get done, just because how they handle it. But it's something about, like, figuring it out and seeing that scenario run without error that's, like, so It's weird, man. Like, I should not be feeling good because you made it more complicated. But the tinkerer and engineer in me is like, you're giving me a feeling of figuring something out. I've achieved something using this. So let me tell you, listeners, if you have never heard of Zapier or Make, if you're going to get started, I highly recommend Zapier. It's more user-friendly. The UI is there. I know I've got a lot of techie folks and engineers, I should say professionals in the science, technology, and engineering, STEM professionals in mathematics. I know I've got a lot of STEM professionals listening too. You can handle Make. Let me tell you, you can handle it. And I know your brain, you're looking for a challenge. You want to conquer it already. Okay, go ahead, dive in. It's a fraction of the cost of Zapier. At the end of the day, we're not telling you this to get super techie and nerdy. We're telling you this because there's going to be a point in time in your business that you're going to have to get data from one platform to the next. So all roads are going to lead to you using one or two of these platforms, you know.
You know, and I realize that this is probably like your mantra as much as it is mine, but automation opens up everything. If I could rebrand myself today, Chris, it would probably be, I'm an automation consultant. Like, let me just do that. Because the value, I can, like, it's so simple, but the value is, I build an automation that saves me 5 minutes a day. What's 5 minutes a day, right? But it adds up. Like, to the point where, and I've done the math, it's like 20 hours over the course of a year.
Yes.
That's insanity, right? Like, for 5 minutes saved.
Yes.
So, if you learn how to put an how to build automation in no code, the amount of work that you will be doing, or maybe I should say the quality of work that you'll be doing, is going to increase substantially, because you're not doing the copy paste, the, you know, move data from here to there. Yeah. And I see so many professionals still to this day working in that environment. And I think I'd be one of them if my boss hadn't undervalued me 5 years ago. So thank you to her. Yes. And, you know, but heed my words and learn automation if you haven't already, because it will change your life and the life of your clients if you're so inclined.
Yes. And I have to piggyback on that, of course. Why would I not? But two is, in every 1, 2, 3, 5 minute task that you save is the potential of saving more time and making more money. Okay. That's there. Here's the flip side, everyone. And I need you all to get this. For every 1, 2, 3, 5 minute task that you do that could be automated, you run the risk of wasting hours. It may seem simple. Gareth, how many times have you said, oh, I'll just go in and I'll do this? It's a simple task. It doesn't take much. And while it's fresh on your mind, you're doing it. You're clicking that button. You're doing X, Y, Z. But what happens when the human brain kicks in, our busyness, fatigue, and you forget to do that little bitty task that took 1 minute? Now it's going to take hours to recover, or something else. You missed an email that was supposed to go out. Oh, the appointment didn't auto accept, you know, things like that. So it's something that you all, automation is not a buzzword. And it has become a bit of that because everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. But it literally is. I don't want people to just think, oh, I can automate millions of dollars in. No. You can't do that. Don't get me wrong. But you'll get more out of it when you start to appreciate the minutes by the ones, twos, fives, tens, twenties, and hours that it's going to save you at one time or accumulatively.
Can I give a quick example on
yes,
this?
Yes, absolutely.
I meet with my my virtual assistant today, and we just came back from a conference, and we were learning about AI and thinking about all the different ways that we can incorporate AI into our business.
Yeah.
One of my assistant's tasks is to take the video that we make for YouTube and to write up, let's call it a show notes, or like a very concise blog, so that when we embed the YouTube video on our blog, we have some verbiage there that's going to help with SEO ranking and whatnot for our content. And so we decided we need to build an automation where we take the text file of the words spoken in the YouTube video, send it to ChatGPT, and ask ChatGPT the same prompt every time. It's the same thing we want every time we do this process. Mm-hmm. Please write a, you know, an SEO rich blog for me that, you know, summarizes this content that we, you know, that we discussed in this video text, and make it, you know, less than 1,000 words or something like that. Mm-hmm. So this is a process that, you know, took my assistant. We produce 3 videos a week, right? This takes my assistant at least, you know, 15 minutes to 30 minutes every time.
Yes.
And it's going to ChatGPT now, which is like, this is a whole other level of automation, right? Because we're talking about AI. So don't be overwhelmed if you haven't started down this rabbit hole yet. But yeah, I'm telling you, the minutes saved become hours more quickly than you'd expect.
Yes. And the consistency of the quality of output. It's just unmatched. See, this is the problem. This is the problem, everyone. This stuff gets me going. So what I can, and I'll speak for you, Gareth. And if I'm out of line, you just say, hey, that's your thing, not mine. if we could bottle it up, package it up in a GIF and ship it to each and every one of you listeners, it would be to experience one of your most critical processes being handled accurately by automation, by technology, I should say, being automated by technology. That's the best way that you can experience. And some of you, what you're doing is you're just buying software and saying, I'm ready to automate. And you're bypassing all of these processes. If you just had somebody, you have people, if you're listening, you have help. Gareth is about to explain where you have additional help from him in a minute. But if you just were able to slow down, talk to somebody who could say, hey, look, this process is really important. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple tools. Let's do this and let's get that executed for you. That's the gift, Gareth, that I want to get so that they can experience it and it doesn't become just a buzzword or a thing that everybody's doing, but something that they've experienced personally and can say, this thing right here, I don't care how much it costs. Don't stop doing it. Never turn this off, you know?
That's why the majority of our clients have been long-term clients, you know? Yeah. They sip the Kool-Aid and before you know it, they're hooked. And they're like, oh man, the efficiency, the amount of money I spent hiring, you know, your agency, Gareth, to build this process, streamline our stuff, more than paid for itself, you know? Yeah. So we're willing and we're happy to do it again. And I mean, to your point though, if I could bottle it up, I would, man. I would in a second. I've tried to create courses for this and I try to teach as much, you know, free stuff on YouTube. And it's like, try this out, guys, try it. But I feel like I've been shouting it from the rooftops and like only a select group of people are hearing it. And I don't know, man, maybe it's my delivery. Sorry, guys. Let me know if you know what I'm doing wrong.
Please let us both know, because I know that the adoption of automation is on an uptick. I just think that people they're not as process oriented as they need to be. They're skipping steps. And, you know, if there's not a process, there's not much that we can do to automate if there's no process. And then the output is less valuable. So in closing, Gareth, I want to put a bow on this growing your business. No code there. So you've got your three compartments of no code software. You're leveraging it internally. Gareth just gave us an example of VA, let's take this, send it to ChatGPT. Let's put some automation in place. So you're doing it internally to make things more efficient. What would you say? And this is right on the fly. Everybody listen, this was not a prep question, by the way. What would you say, looking back at your growth, and if you experienced hockey stick or whether it was linear, whether it was mountains, what would you say was the pivotal point that really unlocked the business growth for you? Was it a particular thing, legion, play? Was it you leveraging the tools internal to your business? If you could, and I know it's hard because there's so many, nothing happens in isolation, but from your experience as the founder, the visionary, and the one responsible for the direction of the company, what was that time where you looked and said, wait a minute, this thing is working. This is it, you know?
It is so hard to pick one thing, right? And I will answer your question the way you asked it, even though I hate the question. I will answer it, but I want to say that there have been multiple times. Like, we went from 10,000 a month to 50, and that was insane. Like, oh my God, we did 50,000 a month. That's we can't do that again. Yeah. And then we went from 50 to 80, and then 80 to most recently 140 or 137 last month. And I'm just like, who are we?
What is going on?
What's going on? The biggest thing for us has been division of labor within the company, so that people have the thing that they are good at and they do that thing, and leveraging systems.
Listen, that was a mic drop right there, Gareth. Division of work. And I want to say this, everyone. I'm on the record, Gareth, that I am anti-solopreneur. I don't think it exists. I don't think it should exist. I think that it takes a multitude of hands and heads to get to where you want to get to. So when I hear you say division of efforts, what I'm hearing is, hey, look, these are the things that need to get done. Let's intelligently put people in place to do those things, not one person or two people to do all of the things.
Exactly right. Listen, I like I mentioned, I do 3 YouTube videos a week. Absolutely impossible to do that if I didn't have an incredible team keeping the other stuff going. So, you know, I mean, there are so many other like nuanced answers I could give you, like autonomy, giving workers autonomy to do their job and own their space.
Yes.
But, you know, I think the big takeaway is allowing yourself to say, as the founder, say, I can't do everything and get where we should be or where I want us to be.
Yeah.
So you got to let go of it. You know, I'm sure everybody's heard the whole adage of, if you can't, you know, if you can, you know, delegate it, or what is it? Eliminate, automate, delegate in terms of tasks. But I don't think enough solopreneurs delegate. Yeah. Automate's great. Obviously, especially this audience, they're here because they love this stuff.
Yes.
But a team makes you stronger. And I still resist it even to this day when it's like, should we add a new person? I'm like, oh man, I don't want a smaller profit margin. And then I look at the numbers and I'm like, wait a second, we did $40,000 more this last year because we added a new person. I think they paid for themselves.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. And the key, I will say this, was the other thing that you said, systems. When you have systems in place, you know where to put those people. And it's already prepared for them. So it's almost like putting someone in a position that's clearly defined, where they're not just sitting there trying to figure everything out. It's like, no, look at this system. Look at the required inputs. This is what the output should be. Here you go, right here. That's your system, you know?
That's right.
I love it, man.
And take it all the way back. This is what no code allows us to do. So one of the big things we needed to learn as a company, as we grew, was that we could not, there's the saying about the cobbler who has the muddy shoes, or I forget exactly how
it's like goes, all everybody has shoes except the cobbler's children or something like that. Yeah.
Right. And so we realized pretty quickly, like, hey, wait, we're doing this amazing work for all our clients and we're not doing it for ourselves. We've got to reserve resources. And now we do reserve resources to dedicate to build. You know, if you're not improving your own internal systems, how are you going to scale?
Absolutely. Gareth, this has been great. You know, I'm going to have you come into the community and do a training for us. I think that there's so much meat on the bone. Now, listen, everybody, you got this episode, no cost, no charge, but we need to get some members only exclusive content from Gareth. He's a wealth of knowledge. So we'll discuss what that could look like going forward. But in closing, Gareth, people have listened. Where are we at? People have listened to us for the last 50 minutes. Ooh. Didn't seem like it. Did not seem like it. They've heard Airtable, SmartSuite, Stacker, Zapier. Man, they've heard all these tools. No code. What? $30,000 a month if I could just make five, right? They've heard all of these great things from your mouth. And they may be asking, how do I get connected with this guy? How do I find out more? How can I get started on my learning journey? To that question, what would you answer?
Well, let me offer two different options, two paths for folks here. Number one, if you want to learn Airtable and, you know, how does this thing work? How would it fit into your business? Maybe the way that you assist your clients or the way that you do business in general. I would suggest starting off with our Airtable crash course, totally free. You can sign up. We'll go ahead and provide links wherever you found this episode. Yeah. And that's going to help you over a series of days. We're going to send you an email a day for, I think it's like 7 or 8 days. And you're going to get all the fundamental building blocks of Airtable covered so that you kind of start to see how these pieces fit together. So if you're interested in learning Airtable and getting started, check out the Airtable crash course. If you're looking to get started as a consultant, you want to maybe dip your toe in the water of no-code consulting and offer some help to your own clients, check out our site Built to Scale. Again, we'll include some notes here. But Built to Scale is our second brand that's teaching people how we took this journey with no-code. And as one of the early Airtable employees used to tell me, this is still the first inning of this game. So if you're looking at this thing and you're late, you are not late to the party. No-code is in its infancy, in my opinion. I think we got a long way to go before we have full market adoption. And I think anything short of full market adoption is going to be, you know, I mean, you're going to be uncompetitive in your industry if you're not adopting no code. So ultimately, I see the future of, you know, work as being everybody uses a variation of these tools. So if you want to help set other people up with that, if you want to start building a consulting firm, like I said, first inning, let's get invested now. So
yeah, thank you for that. Yes, thank you for that. We'll make sure all of those links are below everyone. And I really like that. We're in its first inning. When I think of Airtable, it gives me hope. For this podcast, we are in our last inning. I want to thank you, Gareth, for coming on. This has been a great joy. I'm greatly appreciative. I know our collective audience is as well. So again, thank you for coming on, man. And it's been a joy.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you, listeners. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your time and your ears and your attention. Everybody, make sure you all automate responsibly, my friends. We'll see you all on the next episode. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the All Systems Go podcast. If you enjoyed it, make sure that you're subscribed. At the time of recording, the All Systems Go podcast is free to subscribe to, and it can be found in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes are released every Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed so that you don't miss out. And while you're at it, please leave us a 5-star rating and review to show some love, but also to help future listeners more easily find the podcast so they can experience the value and goodness as well. We've compiled all resources mentioned on the podcast, as well as other resources that are extremely valuable and effective at helping you grow your marketing automation skills quickly, and you can access them all at allsystemsgopodcast.com. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.